الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
Anyway, next point is فصل في العوارض, the section where we talk about for whom fasting is not obligatory. Okay, for whom fasting is not obligatory. Number one, a ill, sick person. You don't have, this is, there's two sections. You know, normally they mention it together in the books of them. They mention it together, but I've actually separated these two sections. They mention together when it's not necessary for you to fast and when you can break the fast together. But I've separated. If you can see, the next section is when is breaking the fast permissible. So it's better to understand this in this way. So this section is talking about when is fasting not obligatory, when you don't have to fast all together. Do you understand? Number one, al-mariyud, the one who is ill. Allah says, "Man kana minkum mariyudan." If you're ill, who is an ill person who's got a headache? Somebody who went for football and his right foot is hurting a bit. Yesterday, sprained the foot in football. Does that person qualify to not fast? No. Who is a mariyud person? A mariyud, ill person is such that who thinks and fears that if he was to fast, it will seriously make him ill and sick. Even worse, if his life is in danger, or he thinks that he will be severely ill, and he is informed by a good Muslim doctor, again, going back to the doctor, you have to ask the doctor. Don't make the decision. You have to always ask the experts in the field. I remember once, as the brother was saying, I studied in Karachi, Pakistan once, so Shaykh Taqi Uthmani, Habibullah, one of my teachers. I remember in Ramadan after Taraweeh, I was just walking with him, and somebody came to ask him a question. He said, I don't know what the question was about, some illness or sickness. Do I have to fast? He goes, look, you don't have to ask me. The best person is, down there, there's a doctor. Doctor told him. The doctor is, the surgery is there, right in the place there. He's a Muslim doctor. He lives there. He stays there. He treats the students. So go to his surgery and go and ask him. That's where you ask the fatwa. Go to him and tell him what's wrong with you. If he tells you you don't have to fast, you don't have to fast. If he tells you you have to fast, you have to fast. Okay. So a good Muslim doctor who tells you that if you fast, then this will increase your illness, or if you're not ill, it will make you ill. Then you don't have to fast. You make qada afterwards when you're able to fast. Number two, a pregnant woman, again, she seriously fears on herself or on her child. That if she was to fast, she seriously fears harm on herself or on her child. Don't take it just lightly. Initial stages, some pregnant women, they can fast. And it depends on each individual. It's not a blanket ruling. For some people it's okay, some people can't fast. Number three, a breastfeeding woman, same thing. She seriously feels harm that if she was to fast, then she will not able to breastfeed her child, or if her fasting will seriously harm her child, then she doesn't have to fast. Number four, traveler. You know the traveler. Allah says, "فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ." The one who is ill or on a journey, then you can not fast and then make up for them later on. Now I told you one ruling about the traveler. Remember? And that's what I said, that I won't repeat it. Do you remember? What was it? That you have to be traveling, yes, before suhoor comes to an end. So that's very important. And traveler is only the one who intends to travel 48 miles. So if you're traveling from Leicester to Loughborough, then you're not a traveler. Okay? It's normal traveling rules. So if you intend to, for example, to go from Leicester to London, it's over 48 miles. The moment you leave your city, you're a traveler. And if you are outside your city, when suhoor time comes to an end, when fajr time starts, you're a traveler. You don't have to fast. Unless you go somewhere, you don't have to fast until you go to another city where you intend to stay and become a muqim, a resident. You intend to stay there for 14 days or above. The moment you do that, you're going for Umrah, Hajj, and you want to stay in Mecca, just in Mecca, not Mecca and Medina, but in Mecca al-Mukarramah, you want to stay for like 15 days, then there you become a resident, all the rules of residence. Residency apply, full prayers, you have to fast, etc., etc. And it's actually good, you know, whilst traveling, if you are able to fast, if it's not too difficult, if you're just traveling from Leicester to London, if the journey is not too difficult, it's actually good to, even if you're a traveler, it's good to fast. But if it, listen to this, if the journey is not too difficult, then it's preferable that you fast. Okay? If it's difficult, then it's preferable that you don't fast. It's preferable. And if somebody is incapable of fasting and fears upon himself whilst traveling, but he still wants to be a very pious person, it's okay, I can fast, then it's actually haram and sinful for him to fast. He's traveling and he fears, or she fears, that look, you know, it's a really difficult journey. It goes in a, you know, the backpacking, for example, on the mountains, no water, nothing. Fears, it's genuine fear. I said, no, inshallah, I'm okay. It doesn't matter if I fall down, if I become unconscious, if I, you know, pass out, it's okay. Alhamdulillah, shaheed. No. Okay, because that's not the way to do things. That person who is sinful for not fasting. And that's why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's a hadith, you know what he said? لَيْسَ مِنَ الْبِرِّ الصِّيَامُ فِي السَّفَرِ. It's not part of righteous actions to fast in traveling, whilst traveling. Now again, you'll find different types of hadith. You pick up Sahih al-Bukhari, you see this one. This hadith says, it's not out of righteous actions to fast whilst traveling. On the same page or the next page, the companions fasted. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasted whilst traveling. How do you reconcile? Again, you have to go back to principles, to usul, to critical analysis, everything. There are different situations. If you're just somebody who just decides on what he sees in front of you, then you're going to face serious problems. Okay, and another ruling about fasting, if they returned from a journey before Maghrib, you were traveling and today at this time you returned home. Yeah, you were not fasting because you were on journey, you were in the car since the past 3 days you were journeying, you were traveling. Today you came to your hometown. At what time? At 4 o'clock. Maghrib is at 8 o'clock. And it's good, recommended, a person should do what is called imsak. Imsak is a term that it's not fasting, but it's just abstaining from food out of respect for Ramadan. Imsak is good. It's actually good to do imsak. So when you come back from journey, when you travel 4 o'clock, just do imsak. Don't eat, but remember, you still have to make up Ramadan. And, okay, lastly, number 5. For those who don't have to fast, this one is not just you don't have to fast, you must not fast. A woman on her menstrual periods, hayd, or a nufasa, a woman in her postnatal bleeding, they must not fast. And there is qada for them, remember. For women, prayers are forgiven whilst on menstruation, but not fasting. Reason being, there's great difficulty, hardship in prayer. Remember, 5 times a day. If she has her periods for 7 days, 7 times 5 is what? 35. And fasting comes once a year. Maybe 7 fasts a year. 6 fasts a year. And this is, you know, so it's a lot of difficulty in making qada of prayer. So that's why it's forgiven. Fasting is not forgiven. And as far as the woman is concerned who's in, you know, the istihab, the chronic discharge, you know, long-term bleeding, of course, none of the rules are relaxed and there are specific rules for that, so they have to fast.